The Baltimore Sports Free For All.
In one final recurring theme here on the Baltimore Sports Free For All in these editions, yeah, it's usually the opposite in and the opposite out. But the thing that has been going on with the Orioles the last couple of weeks, one week we're like, hey, they can win the American League East. The next week, no, they can't. Then the next week, wow, they have still have a realistic shot. And it's gone now. It's completely gone. We can just officially say that the Baltimore Orioles are not going to win the American League East in 2016.
And neither are the New York Yankees and neither are the Toronto Blue Jays, because the Boston Red Sox are just on an entirely different level right now. Seven games in a row that the Boston Red Sox have won since they lost their last series against the Baltimore Orioles in Boston at Fenway Park. And you went into this home series thinking, okay, well, we went 2-for-4 against the Tampa Bay Rays. They were playing spoiler to us. Let's start off fresh. We're only three games back behind the Boston Red Sox going into this. Let's, at best case scenario, take 3-of-4 and be one game back, or let's take 2-of-4 and still remain three with 10 games remaining in the season. Not so much at this point right now. The Orioles right now, Ray, 82-70 on the year, eight games back of the Boston, actually six games back of the Boston Red Sox, eight games back total from the American League East American League lead, one game ahead of the Detroit Tigers and the Houston Astros for the second and final wild card spot in the American League. So the way it's looking right now, folks, is, and being the realist here, the Orioles season and their final season aspirations may end up coming down to one game. And at this point right now, it may come down to a game in Toronto against the Blue Jays. That's, of course, if the tide changes in the next 10 games and some form of miracle were to happen. But right now, I'll put it to you this way. If the Orioles were Cinderella, right now they're wearing a raggedy dress at this point. The magic is currently not in flux right now for the Orioles.
But we have to say one thing, though, about this team is that they had a little bit lower expectations going into this year, and they're actually higher up. A lot of people thought this was a 75-win team, and they're exceeding expectations in that role. They've got less losses than wins that they had for the expectations. So they are achieving better than what people thought. And if you were to tell me that the Baltimore Orioles had a shot of winning the American League East with just a little bit over a week to go in the regular season, I would have said, wow, okay, sign me up. And remember, 14 years of losing. I still remember that clearly. We're now entering the fifth year of that not happening. And right now, it seems like, they're not winning the American League East. Attendance is down. Everyone is clowning on them right now. Hey, I even changed my Facebook profile picture to the crying Jordan meme over top of the Oriole bird. But things can be, they can still kind of right the ship here. But yeah, with momentum and the way things play out, it's the end of the season. The Boston Red Sox are doing all of the right things. They are winning seven in a row after losing a series with the Orioles. And they are actually being clutch down to the wire. Now, granted, as soon as the playoffs happen, everything resets. But you'd like to be able to have riding high going into the playoffs because momentum is key.
Yep, absolutely. And speaking of momentum, you mentioned the Boston Red Sox. Are there any two players in the league that are carrying more momentum in the American League than Mookie Betts and David Ortiz? Just on a team standpoint with those two players in that lineup.
Big. Really big.
Exactly.
The way Ortiz likes to say it.
Yeah, and Mookie Betts right now looks like he's probably going to end up being the American League MVP if things turn out that way. I mean, well, put it to you this way. This is how good Mookie Betts is, folks. If Mookie Betts played 82 game, if he played 81 games a year at Oriole Park at Camden Yards, he probably would break Barry Bonds' single-season home run record. That's how good Mookie Betts is right now.
You mean Roger Maris' single-season home run record, according to some baseball writers?
The asterisk, of course. Yes. Thank you for correcting me on that. Can't say Mark McGwire or Sammy Sosa either in that conversation, I suppose. How times have changed. But, of course, Mookie Betts being a part of that average build class with him and Manny Machado, where they're not necessarily imposing figures, but more so or not, they are the type of guys who, despite their appearance, will hit 35 to 40 home runs a year, and those are the kind of players they are. Mookie Betts, of course, being a straight Orioles killer at this stage in his career. All right, so let's look at the recent stats and where we last left off. We mentioned the Boston Red Sox road series win against the Red Sox at Fenway. So now we move on to Thursday, where the Orioles took on the Tampa Bay Rays in a four-game series at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. And you figure, Ray, this is the series where, you know, your momentum carries over onto the into the next day. Now, we know when we did the last episode of the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All, the Orioles had a big momentum shift going into the weekend, going into the next week after, because of Kevin Gausman's eight-inning shutout win over the Boston Red Sox in the series finale at Fenway.
You could call that the catalyst if you wanted it to be that way, but it just was not meant to be.
It wasn't meant to be. So now we move on to the four-game series against the Tampa Bay Rays. The Orioles lose 7-6 in the series opener on Thursday, September 15th. Boxberger was your winner, improving to 4-1. Yovani Gallardo being the loser at 5-8. Colome getting his 33rd save of the season. Friday, September 16th, Orioles win 5-4 against the Tampa Bay Rays. Brad Brock was your winner, improving to 9-3. Boxberger the loser at 4-2. Zach Britton getting his 44th save of the season. And this was the infamous game where you had the Michael Bourne to Manny Machado to Matt Wieters relay that got the potential game-tying run out at home plate. And, of course, Joe Angel's voice being heard on that broadcast right there. Right now, if Joe Angel were to retire tomorrow, that would be his key call at this point because it got over pretty quickly. And you thought that would carry more momentum into the next game, right? No, not necessarily. Saturday, September 17th, Orioles lose 5-2 against the Rays. Andrisi, the winner, improving to 8-7. Chris Tolman, the loser, at 16-6. Colome getting his 34th save of the season. So now you move on to Sunday, September 18th. You have to savor a two-game split against the Tampa Bay Rays. Orioles win that game 2-1. Brad Brock was your winner, improving to 10-3. Garton, the loser, at 1-1. Zach Britton getting his 45th save of the season. Now, Monday, September 19th, was the start of a four-game series against the Boston Red Sox, the AL East-leading Boston Red Sox. Mind you, despite the fact that the Orioles were down 2-2 to the Tampa Bay Rays in their four-game split, they were still three games back behind the Boston Red Sox. So there was a possibility that maybe, just maybe, if they took 3 of 4 against the Red Sox, they'd be one game back. Well, I hate to break it to you folks, and I wish the score would have been switched around differently, because if it were, we would be in a very tight spot right now on this show. Monday, September 19th, Orioles lose 5-2. Rick Porcello was your winner, improving to 21-4. Dylan Bundy, the loser, at 9-6. The attendance for that game, Ray, 18,456.
These will be your key numbers right then and there. And that was a weekend game, too, and it was actually pretty nice out.
Well, it was a Monday game, but
oh, yeah, a Monday game right there.
But after, it was still against the Red Sox,
after though. The weekend against the Red Sox, and, yeah, it was completely dead. And the weather was nice, just was not meant to be for that.
Tuesday, September 20th, Orioles lose 5-2 to the Red Sox. Eduardo Rodriguez, you know him, former Oriole. They traded him for that one relief pitcher we don't mention, Miller. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, we traded Eduardo Rodriguez for him. Rodriguez improving to 3-7. Kevin Gausman, the loser, at 8-11. Craig Kimbrell getting his 28th save of the season. And it's unfortunate for Kevin Gausman because he was on such a roll in the late part of this season that he's not going to savor a .500 record as a starter. He's going to end up having a losing record as a starter. Needless to say, though, decent ERA, but of course the win-loss total does not equal out to the performance.
Yeah, a lot of those losses, though, could have went the other way because of lack of run support. You got the Jeremy Guthrie syndrome right there.
Yep, and then Wednesday, September 21st, the recording of this podcast, Orioles lose 5-1 to the Boston Red Sox. And this is what gets me, Ray. The five runs that the Red Sox scored were not earned runs. And Ubaldo Jimenez took the loss against Buchholz. Buchholz went 8-10. Jimenez 7-12. The attendance for that game, 20,865. So now we are left with a series finale against the Boston Red Sox on Thursday, September 22nd. Then Friday, September 23rd through Sunday, September 25th, they will be taking on the Arizona Diamondbacks in their final homestand of the season, their final home series of the season, and then get the day off on Monday, September 26th, and then travel to Toronto to take on the Blue Jays Tuesday, September 27th through Thursday, September 29th, and then Friday, September 30th through Sunday, October the 2nd, taking on the New York Yankees in what may or may not be a potential death nail for the Orioles and their postseason aspirations if they do not pick it up. All right, so let's go ahead and look at who has been doing good and who has been doing bad lately. J.J. Hardy's actually been doing good for the Orioles, so to speak. In seven games, he went 9 for 23, scored two runs, had a double, five RBIs, batting 391. Adam Jones, 7 for 26, three runs scored in seven games, has one home run, two RBIs, and a double as well, batting 269. But when you go down the list here, oh, Trey Mancini, forgot, in his first game action as a Baltimore Oriole, 1 for 4 with his first career home run. And that could be a guy if the Orioles don't make a... if the Orioles don't make an effort to go after Mark Trumbo, Trey Mancini, do not be surprised if he becomes a potential DH candidate for 2017.
Of course, going throughout the offseason, if they don't sign Mark Trumbo, people are going to be angry about that. But yeah, if Trey Mancini can actually pick it up and be a replacement to Mark Trumbo, that's a GM's dream right then and there. But right now, the GM department not looking so hot with the Wade Miley trade and the Yovani Gallardo signing, when you've got other guys that have been on the staff that have been better and have moved on to bigger and better things, like a Miguel Gonzalez. So it's tough to see what exactly the Orioles are going to do here in the next week, but they have to be able to at least play above 500 ball if they even want to keep their hold on the second wild card, because not only have they lost the ability to win the American League East, they may lose the ability to have that first wild card spot and have to be the second team to play in and have somebody breathing down their necks all the way into that game and playing game 163 to get into a actual playoff berth. That's something that is going to be weighing on Orioles fans' minds for a couple days, and even for as the game's going on, it's going to be heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching. Will there be a decent attendance if, in fact, they do either play in Toronto or if they play in actual Baltimore? It remains to be seen.
A couple things to key on before we close this show out. We brought up Brad Brock earlier in the show. Brad Brock getting two wins this past week, going 10-3. Does it speak a lot? Does it say a lot out loud for a team whose second other pitcher that has 10 wins is not a starter? You had Chris Tolman, who has 16 wins on the year. And then you look at other guys like Kevin Gausman. You look at Dylan Bundy. You look at Ubaldo Jimenez. You look at Yovani Gallardo. Neither of those guys have 10 or more wins this year. Brad Brock, 10-3. Does it say a lot in a bad way for the Baltimore Orioles when their second winningest pitcher is your eighth inning guy?
Says what people have been saying all season long. The starting pitching, it's not up to par.
It's not flashy.
Not at all.
No, I mean, you look at other teams around the league who have, you know, spent money on starting pitching. I mean, look at the Boston Red Sox. They went and spent money on Rick Porcello. Now, last year, Rick Porcello was, you know, garbage compared to guys like David Price and Clay Buchholz.
Can you make that noise again?
Bleh. Yeah.
That's not even close to the first time.
All right. But, by the way, Rick Porcello this year, 21-game winner. So there's a reason you sign those big contracts and get those guys, because even if it doesn't pan out in the first year, you're hoping a second year it works out.
Because that's what winners do.
Is that's what winners do. Exactly. The question remains is, do the Orioles have what it takes to be winners down the stretch in their final 10 games of the season?
They've shown it throughout the season. Can they show it for one final time?